Father, we thank you for the food and the fellowship. Lord, we thank you so much for your greatness. Lord, your name is holy and awesome. Lord, we just pray for our study today. We just ask that you would open up our eyes, open up our hearts, Father. Help us to see your word the way you see it. Help us, Father, to understand it the way you want it to be understood. So we just pray, Father, you would help us to rightly divide the word of truth. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so I believe we're starting in chapter 16?
Yes.
Why are you smiling? What happened over there?
John's making a coffee and you haven't even started.
Already putting him to sleep?
He's not a teacher, he's relaxed.
I'll just put it on the recording here that there's not a recording last week because John forgot to hit the record button while he was teaching. How convenient of him.
We saw that he was really going to do that, but I guess we got him distracted.
He had it out and everything.
Because I said, hold it. I gotta tell you this. He was going to touch that button, and then I went and told him all this other stuff. And
are you helping him out right now? Are you making that up?
She's covering for me.
Oh, goodness. Okay, so chapter 16, the name of this Torah portion is...
It talks like for itself. I mean, we know all about these people.
Oh, you know about them?
You remember all these years?
All right. Well, here we go. It says, now Korah, the son of Ishar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab and On, the son of Pelet, sons of Reuben, they took courage, rose up in front of Moses, was certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the congregation, those called to the assembly, men of renown, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said to them, you take too much upon yourselves, seeing the entire congregation is holy, every one of them, and Yahweh is among them. So why do you lift up yourselves above the congregation of Yahweh? Stop right there. You're shaking your head, Miss Viola. Why are you shaking your head?
They just got spanked just a while ago after the spies and all of that, and now they're starting this up. It's like, can you...
Are you going to draw on the board, John? What are you doing? Are you going this way? Oh, you're going that way to the coffee.
You heard the coffee.
Okay.
Yeah. Crazy.
So, who's coming up against them?
250
chiefs or
yes,
princes?
Leaders.
Men of Israel. Leaders.
And they're renowned. I mean, like, people of...
Team members of the council?
Yep.
Yes.
Leaders.
They're very smart and leadership from back in the days.
And you have a Levite, right?
Yes.
You have a Levite.
Reuben.
And sons of Reuben.
Yep.
And Reuben is, why is that significant? Because he's the firstborn?
Mm-hmm.
They're already the firstborn. And the Levi are already whose?
They're the Lord's.
They're the Yahweh's,
yep. Yeah.
They're already the firstborn, you're already Yahweh's. John, you ever get mad at your older brother? Because you're already the firstborn, why do you got to keep picking on me? You ever had those conversations?
Yep, sure have.
All right. So any other comments on this so far?
That's about it.
And how do you think Reuben and Moses and them are going to respond? Did you already read ahead? Never mind, I'm not asking John.
Yeah.
Not asking John one bit.
It's the verse that's jumped up at me.
Oh.
Right.
I just put my eyes down and all of those, they just read it all.
Yeah, it just comes back from all the years that we've done it.
Oh, goodness.
We're in trouble.
Okay. So, verse 4. So when Moses heard, he fell upon his face. So he spoke to Korah and to the whole company, saying, tomorrow Yahweh will show you who are his, who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him. Even him whom he chosen will he cause to come near to him. Do this, take fire pans, Korah and all of his company, and put fire in them, and put incense in them before Yahweh tomorrow, and it will be that the man whom Yahweh does choose, he will be holy. You take too much upon yourselves, you sons of Levi. And Moses said to Korah, listen now, you sons of Levi. Is it a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of Yahweh, to stand before the congregation to serve him? And he's brought you near to him, all your brothers, the sons of Levi, with you. And you seek the priesthood also? For which cause you and all your company are gathered together against Yahweh? What is Aaron that you murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab. And they said, we will not come up. Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of a land that flows with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, that you make yourselves altogether a leader over us? Moreover, you have not brought us into a land that flows with milk and honey or given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. What's your thoughts?
They're rebellious on top of everything else.
So, I mean, the first thing is, Moses responds by what? What does Moses do?
Let's check to see who's going to be accepted. Let's everybody get fire pans. We'll find out tomorrow.
He falls on his face first, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's another one, yeah.
So Moses...
interceding.
Falls
as always.
On face. Falls on his face.
He intercedes for these people a lot.
So what are they telling Moses? What are they telling him?
What makes you think you're so holy?
Who made you leader, right?
Yeah. Ay, ay, ay.
Why are you saying ay, ay, ay?
Because they're scary, man. Why are they doing this? You're asking for trouble again.
So what is life about? Is life about me having the best position? Right?
No. The Lord's going to open opportunities for you. Leave it alone.
Yeah. What are these guys doing?
Jumping ahead. Thinking that they're better than thou.
So, yeah. Is it bad to be promoted? No. What's bad is when you try to place yourself in a place that you shouldn't be.
Trying to promote yourself, ooh, you're in trouble.
John, what would happen if you ever tried to take your brother George's shoes and just wear them? When you feel you're growing up.
You'd clobber me.
Because they're not your shoes, right?
That's right.
Because George had George's shoes and John had John's shoes.
Yep.
And so Reuben here, he's trying to step into Moses' shoes. And Korah is trying to step into Aaron's shoes here. You guys see that happening? And the thing is who put the shoes on Moses?
The Lord.
Well, did the people not? First, they were all going to go directly to God, but then they were afraid of the quaking mountain.
Oh, yeah.
And then they said, Moses, you go. We'll listen to everything you tell us.
And was that true?
Nope.
It's like almost people don't know what they really want. They say one thing, and then, oh, I'm leaving. Why are you leaving? Oh, I didn't like this, but you just signed up for this. Yeah, so John is correct. They're the ones that said, Moses, you go and do it, and we'll listen to you. Whatever God tells you, right? And then? What else?
They're rebelled.
Now they're mad because he's the leader. Obviously, who else was trying to talk about Moses that just got... They had to stay for 7 days outside the camp, and the camp couldn't move because...
Lee.
Gossip. Who is gossip? Who is talking?
Lee.
Miriam and Aaron.
Miriam and Aaron were talking, right?
About your wife.
And if God didn't spare Moses' own siblings from punishment, who do these people think they are? The whole camp knows about it because the whole camp couldn't move until Miriam was healed from her ailments, right?
Leprosy.
So, keep all that in mind as we continue to read. So, anything else as we continue?
Nope, it's going to get way bad.
Okay. What am I at? 16.
15,
yes, thank you. So Moses was... Are you already reading ahead, John?
Never.
All right.
No comment.
So Moses was very angry and he said to Yahweh, "Do not respect their offering. I have not taken one donkey from them, neither have I hurt one of them." So Moses said to Korah, "You and all your company be before Yahweh, you and they and Aaron tomorrow. And every man take his fire pan and put incense in it. Every man bring his fire pan before Yahweh, 250 fire pans. You also and Aaron, each of you his fire pan." And each man took his fire pan and put fire in it and laid incense on it, stood at the door of the tent of meeting with Moses and Aaron. So Korah gathered the entire congregation against them at the door of the tent of meeting, and the glory of Yahweh appeared to the whole congregation. Yes, John?
That sounds good, right? Why? So far? Because God's appearing to them.
Oh, God's appearing.
But it's...
judgment is coming.
So, what do you guys remember about fire pans?
Did they have to make these, or did they have that many fire pans?
They had fire pans, because that was part of their service, right?
Because that's a lot of fire pans. By the way, what is a fire pan? Is it that little...
It's what carries the coals, like the coals of the incense? Yeah.
So it's not going to be very big.
I remember, weren't they made out of bronze?
We'll find out here pretty soon, I think, because they're going to be as memorials, aren't they?
Bronze going to melt, or...
Is that what they make the altar out of? No, that's the...
Part of the altar is made out of bronze.
No, but the laver was made from the woman's mirrors, right?
Yep, silver.
Yeah, well,
That's way in the yard. That's in the yard. That's not inside the holy place.
Okay.
Gets better as it goes in, you know? Better material. Yeah.
So, John, to answer your question, I don't know if they just made them out of, unless they already had them. Because they are Levites, so I'm going to assume they're going to have some.
Yeah, as big as that, they probably had that maybe.
Right. I think Asaph might be about to hit.
Do you need to take a break?
Hold on.
John might have an interjection.
Looks like we're, yep, here comes Asaph.
He's up next.
Yeah, you want to put it on volume for you?
Yeah.
That's my wife talking here. Looks like we're winning 2-1.
Yeah. I heard the bat. The ball hit the bat.
He scored a run.
And you safe?
3-1.
And you safe?
No, he got out, but he scored a run.
Oh, he brought in someone.
Yes.
In other words, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I thought he made a home run.
No, he hit the ball to the right side of the field.
So now we're 3.
Now we're 3-1, yes. We may continue, sorry. But they didn't have announcers when I was there. They have an announcer and everything. All right.
Pretty cool. It's coming up in the world.
Okay, so yeah, the fire pans. Where do you guys remember the fire pans, though? I guess that was my original question.
When they made them.
Who is the first people with a fire pan that you remember back in the book of Leviticus, two brothers.
It wasn't Nadab and Abihu, was it? Because
Nadab and Abihu,
Yeah. Oh, so that we're out of order with that?
They're out of order, yeah. So what do you think he's doing right here when he said, hey, come with your fire pan? If he says, come with your fire pan, I want to be like, wait a minute.
Wait, did they get roasted?
But the thing is, they slept since, so they don't even remember that they rebelled about going back out.
But these were their brothers. Like, okay, so we'll use the electrician. We'll use the electrician story from John, okay? So how many crazy, sad electrician horror stories have you heard?
A lot.
Okay, so if you're going to come in to be an electrician, what would you want to do? Learn from their mistakes?
For sure.
And be sure to read the manual.
Because if you're going to the pivot where the guy shows up, you show up to the pivot where the guy was dead, right? Because what do you want to go do? Do you want to...
I want to, before I touch stuff, I want to find out what's wrong with it, diagnose it.
Exactly.
Because you don't want to happen to you what happened to him, right?
Yep. Because some things might be unhealed.
Okay. So. Same thing here. You would think that these guys would do the same thing. Like, okay, wait. A fire pan. God showing up. Let me second guess what I'm doing here.
I'm going to get fried.
Okay. So... John's already smiling because he's.
Yeah,
we're going too slow for him.
Oh, goodness.
Catch up.
The earth cave in on him.
Verse 20, for the sake of John. So Yahweh spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, so I will consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, God of the spirits of all flesh, will one man sin, and will you be angry with the whole congregation? So Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the congregation, saying, get up from around the dwelling of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose, and he went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. So he spoke to the congregation, saying, now turn away from the tents of these wicked men. Do not touch anything of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. Okay, so remember, there's two things going on. One, he told Korah and them to get their fire pans, but now, separately, he's walking to the sons of Reuben, Dathan and Abiram, and he walks over there and he says, everyone get away from them. Korah's over here, and he's going to these guys. Okay? Korah's a Levite over here with his fire pan. Now he's going to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Reuben, telling people get away because he just intervened for them, right? He had intercession saying God wanted to do what to all the people?
He'd seen them in an instant.
And what did Moses do for a second time?
He intercedes again.
Yeah, so Moses again intercedes. And Moses, again, stops God from consuming everybody and is only going to focus on the rebels. So now Moses is like, okay, if you're not part of them, get away from them. So hopefully people listen. Viola's shaking her head.
It's craziness.
Okay. We'll go to verse 27. So they got up from the dwelling of Korah, Dathan and Abiram, on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out, and they stood in the door of their tents, their wives, their sons, and their little children. And Moses said, by this will you know that Yahweh has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they are visited after the visitation of all men, then Yahweh has not sent me. But if Yahweh does a new thing, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that are theirs, and they go down alive into the pit, then you will understand that these men have provoked Yahweh. Yes, Viola.
He prophesied right here. Do you know that? He prophesied.
And what is he saying?
He's saying if they're with the Lord, then they'll be okay. But otherwise, the earth is going to open up and swallow them.
Yeah.
And it is going to happen.
Why are you laughing at that?
That we remember without reading ahead, right?
Right, right. But yeah. I was amazed that, I mean, he prophesied.
Yeah, he says if a new thing's going to happen, you're not, if you die, everybody dies, right, of old age or whatever, then God didn't send me. But if the earth, something you've never heard of before, if that happens, the earth swallows you up.
So is there power in what we say? Yeah, there is. We need to be real careful.
So you're going to have to listen to this again, right? Because what did these people already say? Last Torah portion. What did they say?
Yeah, let the earth swallow us up.
There you go.
They said exactly that.
So that's something that's going to happen, right? But he warns everyone. There's a mercy here where he says, if you're not a rebel and you don't participate with these guys, get away from them. Don't touch anything of theirs. Don't cling to anything that they have or do. Right? Don't do it. You're shaking your head again.
It's like these people are so rebellious. It's like they don't see what's already happened. They don't remember their past.
And remember these words, because after whatever we read happens here, we're going to read about what happens the next day. So remember these words. And see if they even listened to these words. Okay? Verse 31. So it happened, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground split. Right? Is that where I'm at?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The ground split that was under them. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, their houses, all the men that were for Korah, and all their goods. They and all that was theirs, they went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them. They perished from among the congregation, and all of Israel that were around them fled at their cry, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up. And a fire came out from Yahweh and consumed the 250 men who offered the incense as well.
And now going forward, they might be on a different chapter. Or their 16 might continue.
No, there your guys' 16 continues. Mine turns into 17 right here. 17? Are you on 17 now too, John?
Yep. My last verse was verse 35.
Are you on 17 now too, Linda? Or does your Bible continue in chapter 16?
What did you just say?
35. Does it end on 35 and you start on 17, on number 1?
No. No, you keep going into 16? Okay. So yeah, here we have everyone who was for Korah from Dathan and Abiram, the earth opened up and swallowed them. And then Korah and the 250 Levites with their fire pans, fire came and consumed them, just like who? Nadab and Abihu. You shaking your head again?
No, no.
Did they frustrate you?
Well, yeah, it does, because it's like, yeesh.
Okay, so let the world be warned, right? There you go. All Israel be warned. Your God has spoken. End of debate, right? That's the end of the debate.
No.
You say no, Linda? Why not? It should be the end of the debate. Has anybody ever watched somebody totally lose a debate, but they kept fighting like they still had a chance?
Yeah.
Was it not hard to watch?
Yeah.
Okay, so my chapter 17. So yeah, I'll just put here, Dathan, Abiram, swallowed up. Korah, Levites, consumed. All in one day. Things you've never seen before ever happen. Come and happen. still winning. Sorry. Just wanted to see the score. Now, is this the scoreboard's way back there? And it's just a camera hanging on a fence. It's like a little phone camera just hanging on a fence right behind the catcher. So to see the score and all that, it's like way out in center field. So you're trying to see that little bitty thing way back there. Second inning, bottom of the second, we're batting again, and we're winning 3-1 so far. That'd be great if we win and beat that team. All right.
Sounds like you guys are.
Hopefully, if they keep it up, because the last two times we played them, they beat us twice, but we were winning the entire game until the last inning, and then we gave it away by errors both times. Yeah, so.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay. Chapter 17 for me, 16:36 for Linda. Here we go. So Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, to take up the fire pans of the burning and scatter the fire yonder, for they are holy. The fire pans of those who sinned and lost their own lives, let them be used to make broad plates to cover the altar." Aha! There you go. "For they offered them before Yahweh. Therefore they are holy, and they will be a sign to the children of Israel." So I guess every time you come up to bring your fire pan, every time you come up to bring an offering at the altar, whether it be a peace offering or whatever offering it may be, whatever gift you're going to bring to Yahweh, you should see those fire pans there to remind you to what? To stay in your lane, yeah. Stay in your lane, just love Yahweh, you're right? And don't try to be a Levite, don't try to be a firstborn, just be you, right? So basically, that's what's going to happen when you come to the altar. So I'll put that on the board. My markers are over here. Fire pans, here we go, John. They become part of the altar, right?
On display.
Pans are on altar, on display, you said, Miss Viola?
Uh-huh. Don't you think that's like a reminder?
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of reminders that the Lord gives us. There's these tassels, right, that He gives us. There's the mezuzah on their door, right? Write the commandments on your doors and on your gates. There's the Passover. There's the Shabbat. There's the showbread. There's the almond bud, the Ark of the Covenant.
The moon, the scars, everything.
I wonder why do we need so many reminders?
Because we're forgetting all the time.
So I guess we can help the women out here and be like, you know how your husband can't know where his keys are or this or that. Like, yeah, that's what God deals with on a daily basis with His people.
Yeah, that's scary. Like, come on, let's get it right, guys.
Find your keys, Viola. They're right there.
Jeff. Okay, let's see. I'll find them.
John, do you ever lose your keys at home?
That's rare. But I can't say I for sure have. But not often.
Is there anything you ever misplace at home that your wife ever?
Nope, my wife misplaced.
Oh, she does. Oh, so
the garage, and then I couldn't find anything.
She cleans the garage? Honestly, I'm not
going to. Oh, man. She needs to come over to my house. I need a good garage cleaning.
I ain't going to do that.
My other says no.
I got enough going.
Okay. Okay, so there is going to be a sign for them. So am I at verse 4?
4:39 for Linda.
Okay, so Eleazar the priest took the bronze fire pans, put those who had been burned, that had offered, and they made broad plates for a covering for the altar, to be a memorial for the children of Israel, so no stranger who is not of the seed of Aaron could come near to offer the incense before Yahweh, so he would not be like Korah and like his company, as Yahweh had said to him by the hand of Moses. So again, you have Korah's company acting just like Nadab and Abihu. So you can take the company of Korah, right? And here they're just being just like Nadab and Abihu.
Rebellious.
Okay. So God putting those reminders there is his mercy to us. He's trying to help us not repeat the mistakes of the past. And then I think in the New Testament you'll read that all of this is written for us so we can learn from it. So if we're reading our scriptures and we're not learning to apply this when we leave here, this is pointless.
We're going to hit the wall again like them.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
If, you know, we come here and God says be faithful to him and we're not faithful to him, what are we doing, right? If he says live in purity, live in innocence, right? Don't be gross like Egypt. Don't be gross like the Canaanites, right? Take care of your diet and watch what you do with your body, and you know, and stay out of sexual immorality, you know. And if we don't do that, then what are we doing here, right? So anyway, all that to say is like God's just saying, here's a reminder, here's a reminder, here's a reminder. Stop doing that. Here's a reminder to you of what happens when you do that. All right, here we go. So, case should be settled, right? It's all done. Korah's company's burnt like shish kebabs. Dathan and Abiram got swallowed up, right, in a sinkhole, and life goes on. Happily ever after? No, Sonia's saying no. John's smiling because he's reading ahead. I see him. I see his eyes going down the page. All right, here we go, John. On the next day, the entire congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, you have killed the people of Yahweh. I thought we distinguished yesterday who the people of Yahweh were.
Yeah. And they're the ones that are rebelled.
Yeah. And it was when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, they looked toward the tent of meeting, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of Yahweh appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tent of meeting. So Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, get up from among this congregation, so I can consume them in a moment. And they fell on their faces. You're shaking your head, Viola.
Interceding again for them.
Again? How many times so far in just this Torah
it's
portion?
Three.
That's yeah.
The third time.
Fall on faces again.
Yep.
Number three. I'll put three. You said three times?
Yep.
Third time. God's like, I'm done with them. And Moses is like, no, don't do it. Isn't that crazy? The guy that has saved their lives from God's wrath time and time again is the one that they are rebelling against. Crazy.
11.
Thank you. Anybody else have a comment on that? John, are you reading ahead again? I just caught up to you.
When you get to 16, it'll be her chapter 1.
Okay. So Moses said to Aaron, take a fire pan, put fire from it on the altar, put incense on it, carry it quickly to the congregation, and make a covering for them. For the anger has gone out from Yahweh, the plague has begun, and behold, the plague had begun among the people, and he put incense on it, made a covering for the people. He stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now those who died in the plague were 14,700, besides those that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned to Moses at the door of the tent of meeting, and the plague was stayed. So what happens now?
The plague killed people.
For what?
A lot of them.
For rebellion,
atonement.
Dead. That's after.
Yeah.
And how did atonement happen? Did an innocent animal have to die on their behalf and you put your hands on his head? No, how?
Aaron was running.
With what?
With the fire pan.
What did Aaron save them with?
Incense and the fire.
Whoa!
Prayers.
So Aaron has a fire pan
running through the...
With, this is the first time that we have someone doing the right thing with the fire pan. And it saves lives, and it doesn't kill lives. Like these guys. You guys see the difference? So what a mark in their face that the only way they're saved from a plague that has already killed 14,700 people that are dying, they're dropping dead, is the guy who has the fire pan is stopping them from dying. And the guys who shouldn't have had the fire pan, who wanted his spot, are dead. Go ahead, John.
So here it's not Aaron on his own deciding to do this, but Moshe tells him, hey, quickly grab your fire pan.
Mm-hmm.
Because God's anger has been poured out. And get in between there. So he goes between the living and the dead. And he puts his incense in the fire pan. I guess the pan had fire in it, and then he poured the incense, which makes smoke.
Yeah.
I'm trying to visualize this. Mm-hmm. But he goes between there, and then the plague is stopped.
Yeah. So imagine there are people who are just talking about you and who are trying to do a coup against you.
And he saves them.
And he saves them. What? No wonder God says that Moses was the most humble man on earth, because that is hard for a lot of people. I mean, how many people, I get stirred up if someone's just talking about me. Like, how do you not look at Moses and be like, wow. These people are complaining that he brought them out there to kill them in the wilderness, to starve their families, that it was better in Egypt. Who do you think you are? We're better than you. We're holy just like you. And he saves their life time and time again, despite all that. Right? That, to me, that's just like, wow. Imagine someone just trying to do a coup to you at your business, John. Like, that's tough, right? It's like,
it happened once.
How'd you handle it?
Yeah, long story, but those guys in Paris, they basically took my company from me.
But is that not tough?
Yeah.
Emotionally, spiritually, is that not tough on the inside of who you are?
Is that company still together now?
Well, I started a lawsuit, but eventually, 5 years later, 5.5 years later, they settled with me out of court.
Because that's tough, good. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a lot of...
So imagine this.
Years before they turn around, huh?
Yeah, holy, holy people.
Yeah. Totally people coming out of Egypt.
Holy people.
Holy people. They're trying to...
Yeah, Levites. Yeah. Reuben's kids. And all this other...
We should be the pastor. We should be the elders. Like, really? Okay. People don't know what they're asking for. Right? Most people don't know what they're asking for. You get into a real congregation, you don't know what you're asking for. You're asking for tears and lots of tears and lots of prayer. All they see is like...
It'd be glamorous to be there.
There you go, yeah.
No.
They see the glamour. They see, right, yeah.
A lot of heartaches.
Those people aren't in it for the real thing, right? They're in it for the show.
Oh, absolutely.
So.
The bling bling.
All right, where were we at? Were we at 16?
1 for Linda.
1, chapter 7, verse 1 for Linda. And verse 16 for the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and each of them take a staff according to the house of their fathers, of all their leaders, according to the house of their fathers, 12 staffs. Write each man's name upon his staff, and you will write Aaron's name upon the staff of Levi. For one staff will be for the head of the house of their fathers, and you will lay them up in the tent of meeting before the testimony, where I will meet with you, and it will be that the staff of the man whom I shall choose will blossom, and I shall make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against you. So what are we going to do?
Not murder.
Staffs.
You get a staff from each tribe and put your name on there and then throw them into... where are they putting them? In the tent of meeting.
Okay. Now, what are we doing this for?
To see which one's going to sprout. The one that sprouts will be the leader.
Mm-hmm.
And this is supposed to put an end to the incessant mutterings of the...
But I thought we already did that with the ground opening up and the fire pans.
No, never enough. We need more.
Never enough.
We need more.
Do you guys know anyone in your life that ever lose and they want to play again and they lose again and they just, nope, we're going to play again? And
well, best out of three.
Well, right now they're already losing that one because they're 0 for 2.
Yep.
Right? All right. But you guys see what God's dealing with here?
Yeah.
And the picture is, who else? He dealt with someone before this that was just like this.
Pharaoh.
There you go, John. He dealt with Pharaoh.
And these people, probably all of them saw it. Like, it wasn't done in secret. This was, like, most of the plagues were, well, plagues, were something that was widespread, visible to everybody.
But see, to Pharaoh's defense is he had never witnessed that in his life, so that was the first time. But these people have witnessed what happened to Pharaoh. And now they're becoming worse than Pharaoh because they've seen what's happened before. They've seen what Yahweh can do. And they were, and now they're just worse than him. Go ahead, Viola.
They have no fear.
Ooh.
It's like they have no fear. What's wrong with them?
But they're God's people. God loves them. They can do whatever they want to do because God's mercy. They can just do, you know?
No, just like you said, he did it to his own.
Oh, because God only said that to Pharaoh, and whatever he said to Pharaoh doesn't apply to me. And you know, they can try to be word wizards and just, you know, say, oh, well, he didn't mean it for me. You know, if God didn't say, oh, that's just for married couples, it's not for me. Or that's just for single people, that's not for married couple. Like, they can play words and, you know, basically they can try to soothe themselves in their sin, but it doesn't really matter because God looks at it the same to them. And that they're blinded to it.
Yeah.
They're blinded to their own destruction.
Mm-hmm.
But they think they're holy, because we're holier than Moses. That's the ironic part, is these people are living in sin, but they think they're holy. And you can't tell them that they're not, because Moses is trying to tell you are not living holy, and yet you're trying to tell people to be holy, and you're worse than everybody else. And the only person, you're just deceiving yourself. That's what these are doing, because in their mind they think they are holier than Moses and Aaron. And you and I are, yeah, and you and I are looking here shaking our heads and getting frustrated with them.
Yeah.
But in their minds, they are holier than them. They think, well, what they're doing is not wrong. Nope, doesn't apply to us. What it takes to get their attention is the earth swallowing up and fire burning them, but these other people still don't see it. Nope, still not me.
Still another test.
And 14,700 people have to die extra. Because they still don't get that what they're doing is wrong, and they think they're holy. Go ahead, John. Oh, I saw your fingers move up.
Yeah, I was just going over a story in my head that I read last week. Basically, where King Sennacherib is taunting Isaiah and Hezekiah, the king. And there, God does a miracle probably unlike anywhere else. They send a letter to Sennacherib, and he gets the letter. And in the morning, he gets up, and there's 185,000 dead soldiers. The angel of the Lord went out at night and apparently silently killed all of these. But then the very interesting thing about this, the letter basically said that he would never set foot in the city of Jerusalem and that he would go back the same way he came there. And he goes home. And a year later, he's in the temple of his foreign god by the name of Nisroch, N-I-S-R-O-K, worshiping him. And his two sons, Adrammelech and Shar-Ezer, come in there and kill him with a sword to take over the kingdom. Of course, it's Babylon, right?
Yeah.
Babylon goes downhill from there fast. These two sons don't don't do anything worthwhile with the kingdom. But yeah, his mistake that Sennacherib made is he's basically telling them, look at all these nations that I conquered, and their gods were powerless to save you, and don't think that your god can save you from me. That's basically what he's... So he... But yeah, a lot of stuff happens, but... When Hezekiah hears this, he goes to Isaiah, and they basically plead with God, and God speaks to the prophet Isaiah and tells him, hey, rest easy, he's not coming into your town. And he didn't. Yeah, I was trying to read fast, but I slowed down, I get sidetracked, and then you read one story and you got to go back, and yeah, I'm in the middle of Jeremiah now, from starting with Joshua.
Oh man, so, you trying to do that reading program, summer reading program?
So I'm somewhere around 700 pages, I'm way behind.
Oh, that's a lot.
Thousands of pages by now.
That's a lot, man. All right, so verse 21. So Moses spoke to the children of Israel, right? Mind 21 for us?
Yep.
Each one of them took their princes, gave them a staff, one for a prince according to their father's house. 12 staffs, and the staff of Aaron was among their staffs, and Moses laid up the staffs before the Yahweh in the tent of testimony. It was on the next day that Moses went into the tent of the testimony, and behold, for the house of Levi, the staff of Aaron had budded and brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms and yielded almonds. John.
Yeah, so this thing is, a staff is like hardwood, right?
Yeah.
It's long dead wood.
Right.
But this thing had, it had buds and blossoms and almonds.
All of them. It matured all the way to the maturity.
Yeah, it's like what happens in a year, like a crop is produced out of a staff.
Right.
But is this going to do it for the people? Are they not going to fall in line?
That did it. That did it. Now.
Yeah, so you're right. So let's see what happened. So Moses brought out all the staffs from before Yahweh to all the children of Israel. They looked, and each man at a staff. And Yahweh said to Moses, bring Aaron's staff again before the testimony, to be kept for a token against the rebels, so their murmurings will cease from me, and so they won't die. And Moses did so, and Yahweh commanded, so he did. So the children of Israel spoke to Moses, saying, behold, we are dying, we are perishing, we are all perishing. Everyone who comes near the tabernacle of Yahweh will die. We will totally perish. Go ahead, John.
So first they're holy, but now they're all going to die. See, they're like bipolar.
Yeah, we're wrong. No, we're really wrong.
But yeah, couldn't they just rest somewhere in the middle? But nope, now they're afraid they're all going to die because that when they saw the staff, they did this, right?
Yeah. Sorry, our team was cheering at home plate. I had to see what was going on.
What's the score?
We're up 7-3 in the fourth inning. Bottom of the fourth.
How many innings do they go?
Six.
So hopefully they don't do the reversal again.
Hopefully not.
No, 7-3, it's going to be hard.
Hopefully it'll stay.
No, but yeah, it's a very good point, John. That's a very good point. We're holy, but now we're all dying.
Yeah, they completely did a 180. Mm-hmm.
You ever had a sibling, John? I just pick on you because you have so much siblings. Have you ever had a sibling or anyone where they just couldn't understand why mom and dad was not ever happy with them? And you were just there to say, well, if you just would listen and stop talking back, maybe it would be okay with you. Anybody ever had to have that conversation with someone in their life?
Yeah.
Right? Like... It's like the robber, right? You're like, why do they just keep picking on me because my skin color? Like, well, maybe you should stop hanging out, you know, taking stuff from the store. Maybe that's the problem. Or maybe, it's like, oh, they always pull me over. Like, Well, maybe you should just go to the speed limit. Maybe it has nothing to do with anything else other than you're just not obeying.
That's it. Exactly right.
You gotta quit running that light or the stop sign.
Uh-huh.
I know lots of people, they don't stop all the way. Hey, there's nobody here. Zoom. This gas.
So, yeah. So, anyway, I'm frustrated reading about these guys, but they're here for a reason, so we could learn from them. Yes.
Well, even worse than that is if you realize you did it yourself. Why did I not learn my lesson?
Right.
Yeah, so now they're all mad because they're just going to die. Yahweh's just going to kill them. And you're like, guys,
just
obey and he won't. And know that there is a man called Moses whom you keep fighting against that keeps saving your life. So just stop. Stop attacking him. Mm-hmm. Horrible, right?
And all the leadership.
All right. My home stretch, chapter 18. Is this chapter 18 for you now?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. 18. So Yahweh said to Aaron, you and your sons and your father's house with you will bear any sin in the sanctuary, and you and your sons with you will bear any iniquity of your priesthood. And bring your brothers also of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of your father, with you, so they can be joined with you and to serve with you. But you and your sons with you will serve before the tent of testimony, and they will keep your charge and the charge of the entire tabernacle. Only they will not come near the vessels of the sanctuary and the altar. So neither they nor you would also die. And they will be joined to you and to keep the charge of the tent of the testimony for all the service of the tabernacle. For all the service of the tabernacle, and a stranger will not come near you. And you will keep the charge of the holy place and the charge of the altar, so there will no longer be wrath upon the children of Israel. I am, behold, I have taken your brothers, the Levites, from among the children of Israel. They are given to you as a gift for Yahweh, to do the service of the tent of meeting. Therefore, you and your sons with you will keep your priest's office for everything of the altar and within the veil, and you will serve. I have given your priest's office to you as a service, as a gift, and the stranger that comes near will be put to death. Okay? So, thoughts on this one, on this paragraph that we just read.
They said that their services was a gift. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, so their service
is a gift.
Is a gift.
But wasn't all this already established? But now it has to be reestablished because of all the rebels.
Well, have you ever, whether at home or at work, ever had to establish something and then had to go and reiterate what you already said because something went down? Or anybody ever done that before?
All the time.
All the time. Like, why are we doing this? It's a procedure. It's a policy. It's what gives us our permits, our licenses. Or that's just what Dad said. Dad said, I will take someone to go get ice cream if you clean the yard. How come they get ice cream and I don't? Because they clean the yard. Well, I did the dishes. Oh, I asked if someone would clean the yard today. And whoever cleaned the yard got ice cream. Anybody ever been there before? Whether the ice cream or at work or whatever. You just had to reestablish something because someone just didn't get it. And so yeah, you're right on it, John. This was already established. He's already, we had talked chapters about this. They're special to him. And now he has to reestablish the people that he chose. Did they put themselves there?
Nope.
No, he chose it. He had a whole protocol on how to do it. We even did the counting of them. Remember, we numbered them from this age to this age. And then we numbered them again from when they could do the service. Not just as babies, but we did it from like 20, 25 or whatever, 30
to 50.
Yeah. So we did all of that already. And now he's got to reestablish that it's a gift from him. Ooh, talk about gifts. What's also a gift? A hint. It's in Corinthians. It's a letter to the Corinthians. This is called the gifts of the Spirit. notice it's a gift, and it says that the Spirit gives as he wills. So, as he wills. So, one day John could heal somebody, and then the next day he can't. Because it has nothing to do with John. What does that have to do with? The Spirit of the, right, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as he wills. Right? So, if John heals, okay, let's do this for Peter. What did Peter get to famously do that no other disciple got to do?
Walk on water.
Walk on water. How many people, I wonder how many of these people with Moses have been like, how come he gets to walk on water? I'm better than Peter. Peter just yap, and gets his mouth, gets him in trouble. My mouth never got me in trouble. How come I don't get to walk on water? Like, I think about Peter. How many times did Peter mess up? But yeah, he gets to walk on water. If you were there with Peter, wouldn't you not be like mad? Like, why does he get to walk on water? He didn't deserve it.
I want to be the greatest in the kingdom.
So it's a gift. So when it's a gift, according to Yahweh's will, to Yahweh's plan, are you going to argue about what he's doing with someone else? Should you argue? No, you should, yeah. But what are they doing? Yeah, so he has to reestablish that this is a gift. Yeah. Because someone's not happy. Did you ever get that in your family, John? Did someone ever say, how come they get to do it?
Yeah, all the time.
It was never you, though, right?
Rarely.
All right. Okay, so verse 8, y'all ready? So Yahweh spoke to Aaron, behold, I've also given you the charge of my heave offerings, of all the holy things of the children of Israel. I have given them to you, to your sons, by reason of the anointing, by an ordinance forever. This will be yours of the most holy things, reserved from the fire. Every gift or offering of theirs, every grain meal of theirs, every purification gift of theirs, every asham gift of theirs, which they will render to me, will be most holy for you and for your sons. You will eat it in the most holy place. Every male will eat of it. It will be holy to you. This is yours, the heave offering of their gift, with all of the wave gifts of the children of Israel. I have given them to you, to your sons, to your daughters with you, by statute forever. Everyone that is pure in your house will eat of it. Okay? So, what is Yahweh doing now? He's reassuring who?
The Levites.
Yeah, he's reassuring the Levites at this moment. Because the people were picking on them. Okay, y'all doing good? Okay, verse 12.
I'm
on 12, I think. Yeah,
mine. Your last thing was they may eat of it.
No, yeah, in verse end of 12. Uh-huh. I finished 12. 11. I mean, 11. Sorry,
yeah,
I finished 11.
Ends like that too.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm on 12 now. So it says all the best of the oil, all the best of the wine, of the wheat, the first fruits of those which they will offer to Yahweh, I have given them to you. And whatever is first ripe in the land, which they will bring to Yahweh, will be yours. Everyone that is pure in your house will eat of it. Everything devoted in Israel will be yours. Everything that opens the womb in all flesh, which they bring to Yahweh, whether it's of men or of beasts, will be yours. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man you will surely redeem. The firstling of impure beast you will redeem. And those that are to be redeemed from a month old you will redeem, according to your estimation. For the money of 5 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. But the firstling of an ox, the firstling of a sheep, the firstling of a goat, you will not redeem. They are holy. You will sprinkle their blood on the altar, you will burn their fat for a gift made by fire, for a sweet savor to Yahweh. And their flesh will be yours. as the right breast and the right shoulder are yours. I've given them to you and to your sons, to your daughters, with all the gifts of the holy things which the children of Israel offer to Yahweh by a statute forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before Yahweh to you and to your seed after you. So, the priests get what? The best of everything?
Yes.
Right? Best of everything goes to the priests.
Yes.
And these offerings that are being brought, one thing I want to point out is, does God have to turn his head away because his wrath goes upon these animals? What does it say these are to God? They're a sweet savor to him.
Which would be the opposite, actually, of if something, you know, like if you're smelling a flower and it's a bad smell instead of a good smell, then you're going to, like, but if it's not a good smell, you're going to savor it, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Which is what God does. He leans in a little closer and take a deep breath.
We're up 7-6. Well, the other teams, they just started the fifth inning, so now we get to hit the fifth inning. So basically, we get to hit this inning, but all we need to do is get three outs after this inning, and we win. And we play in the championship tomorrow. So this is how it always ends with this team, though, is we always go to the last inning, we're up by one.
And they came up quick.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're taking the field. I think Asaph should be coming up pretty soon. Nope, maybe not yet. He's only hit once, I think. Unless I missed him. Anyway.
What did you say?
Me?
Yeah. I just recall.
Bringing up.
Who's leading?
Oh, Asaph's baseball team is winning right now. So, it's a good thing.
They came up fast. In other words, the opponents, they brought up their low score, and now it's 7-6.
Yep. Okay. All right. So, yeah, the priests get the best of everything, and this is not Yahweh having to turn his head away and because he's putting his wrath on all these animals for their sins or anything like that. There's nowhere in here where it says that. This is a sweet savor to him. Matter of fact, when Noah got off the boat, he gave a burnt offering, an olah korban. And after the olah korban came up to Yahweh, he said, I will never do that to man again, because he was so pleased with the gift from Noah, right?
Sometimes when you smell a barbecue,
My wife. Barbecues kill my wife. She's always like, do you smell that? I'm like,
yes.
I did it.
And we go for a walk in the evening. We smell every barbecue.
There's a barbecue grill on the road coming. There's a barbecue grill on the road coming.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Drop that. Cast iron, everything. I mean, big old thing.
John?
One thing about Noah's offering, it was not God demanding an offering from him.
Right.
Noah felt moved to bring a gift.
That's true.
He wanted to draw near to God, and it worked. God was moved by it, and that's what prompted him to make that covenant.
Yeah. That was the first one, right? Oh, no, it was...
Well, we know...
Abel, right? Abel's first one.
Yeah, Cain and Abel both brought an offering, but one was pleasing and one was not pleasing to God.
Right, right.
And people write... something that gets me about a lot of my friends, I don't want to call them out in case they listen to this, but...
Sorry.
But they, a lot of Christians have this all or nothing. Like, if I disagree with something, then, so you're saying we're all going to hell. Or think about this even. And I've asked quite a few of them now, what about King David? He messed up all those times. Did God kick him out? No, he said there's going to be, there won't be peace in your household because of what you did to Uriah. And, you know, certain things are going to happen, but even with Moses, you can read in the New Testament, Moses is still Moses, right?
Right.
But he got punishment.
Yeah.
That didn't mean it was all out. Right. He just didn't get to enter the promised land. So there's consequences, but if you mess up one time, it's not one strike and
you're out.
And yeah, but yeah, so these guys are, so these offerings that they bring, the priests eat that.
Yeah.
They take all, it becomes their salary, basically.
Yeah.
Their income.
Yeah. Survival.
Right, they're in the last inning, 7-6, so hopefully they win. No, that was very good insights, John. I really appreciate it.
You bet.
So verse 20 now? Yeah, this is a sweet savor, for sure. Verse 20. Yahweh spoke to Aaron, "You will have no inheritance in their land, nor will you have any part among them. I am your part. I am your inheritance among the chosen of Israel. Behold, I have given the chosen of Levi all the tithe in Israel for an inheritance for their service which they serve, the service of the tent of meeting. Nor may the children of Israel from now on come near the tent of meeting, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites will do the service of the tent of meeting, and they will bear their iniquity. It will be a statute forever throughout your generations among the children of Israel. Levites have no inheritance, but the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave gift to Yahweh, I have given those to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said to them, among the children of Israel, they will have no inheritance. So Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, You will speak to the Levites, and say to them, When you take from the tithes of the children of Israel, which I have given you for your inheritance, then you will give a gift offering, a heave gift of it for Yahweh, a tenth of the tithe. And the heave offering will be reckoned to you as though it were the grain of the threshing floor, as the fullness of the winepress. Thus you will also offer a heave offering to Yahweh of all of your tithes, which you take from the children of Israel, and you will give it to Yahweh's, you will give from it Yahweh's heave offering to Aaron the priest. Out of all of your gifts you will offer every heave gift to Yahweh, of all the best of it, the holy part of it. Therefore you will say to them, When you have heaved the best of it from it, it will be counted to the Levites as the increase of the threshing floor, as the increase of the winepress. And you will eat it in every place, you and your household, for it is your reward for your service in the tent of meeting, and you will bear no sin by reason of it. When you have heaved from the best of it, neither will you profane the holy things of the children of Israel, lest you die. So what is Yahweh doing to them?
He was explaining the details of how all the tithes that the children of Israel bring, that they belong to them, and how they're supposed to handle it. Because they're all supposed to give off a tenth of that, right?
Yeah. So it's like, to me, I see Yahweh's exalting the Levites among the brothers because of what the brothers were just doing to him. Right? It reminds me of what... It reminds me of what Joseph did to Benjamin in front of his brothers. When he gave Benjamin a portion of five instead of one in front of his brothers. Right? That's kind of what it reminds me of what he was doing here. But I think God is just really re-emphasizing who the Levites are to him because of what just happened to the Levites, how they were trying to do a coup against them. And it wasn't even the Levites who put themselves there. God's the one that chose them. So, Torah portion, John.
A little rabbit trail question.
Oh, we got two outs. We just need one more out and we win. Sorry, go ahead.
Do we have time for a little side trail?
Sure.
So, you mentioned Joseph. And we talked earlier a little bit about how King David messed up, Moses messed up, and King Solomon, we know he messed up gravely, and which doesn't it kind of leave us with a cliffhanger with him? But what about Joseph? Does it ever mention that he messed up?
We won.
Did they?
Did they win?
We won, yep.
So 7-6.
We won 7-6.
Wow, that's a
first time they beat them. That's yep. great. Woo-hoo, glory. That's good. We'll see how they do tomorrow. Hopefully everything will go well, too.
Yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
So the question is, all these other great men, men of renown, men of repute, like King David, King Solomon, Moses, and all of these, they messed up. But does it ever say that Joseph messed up?
No.
Because he's got a pretty clean record.
He's pretty clean, yeah. There's only a couple people in the Bible that have a clean record. Like, Moses doesn't have a clean one. He has his little thing. Aaron doesn't have a clean one. And then the golden calf, come on, dude. And then talking about his brother. Miriam doesn't have a clean one. But Joseph has a clean one. There's nothing bad about him, recorded about him.
Right, and probably the same with Job. And Job is probably the oldest book in the Bible.
Yeah. And we know Joshua has his little moments.
Yeah.
Oh, Joshua.
What about Caleb?
Caleb has a little bit of a moment in the book of Joshua, or Judges. Or I think he does, because he's like, he wants to go take part of his land. Like, hey, y'all haven't given me the land. Like, oh, you got to go take the land, dude. And so he's like, whoever goes and takes the land can marry my daughter. And some guy's like, I'll do it. So I don't know if that's bad or good. The author doesn't tell us.
Yeah, some of it is hard to discern, right?
Yeah, let me exit out of this.
Congratulations, Isaac.
Yeah, that's good.
But I like too how it says for people that repent and turn away and seek God, then God will abundantly pardon them. And then it's in Jeremiah, it explains why. Because my ways are higher than your ways. My ways aren't like your ways. I can do what I, like you said, whomever he wills.
Yeah.
Right? If he wills. So, the same way, you mentioned that, with these offerings, there was no bloodshed, but God's wrath was stopped without bloodshed. And but God is a compassionate and forgiving God, but if only we don't rebel against him.
No, for sure.
Against his commandments.
Yeah, it's just... You and me, where God found us, where we're at now. We can't compare each other by each other.
No. We got our own ladder to climb.
Right? Yeah. And so, sorry.
We can't be.
My parents are calling me. Go ahead, Viola.
We can't think... Well, why me? Why not? Why him? You can't do that. No. You have to walk your walk, and you're not supposed to be. You got blinders. You're not worried about them.
Yeah, it's interesting because, we name our children, and a lot of people name our children and their children after like biblical characters. But like, if you named your child Moses, like, did you really want him to go through the life of Moses, or, if you named him Paul? I want to name my son Paul. Well, did you know that in every city, the Holy Spirit was telling Paul, there's trouble here for you? There's trouble waiting. There's trouble waiting for you?
My best friend named her son Cain.
Oh, the guy that murdered his brother? Like, yeah, so. But no, what I'm saying is, Joseph only, he didn't have anything bad about him. And there are only very few people in your Bible. And I think it's on purpose. It's on purpose. Even some of the great ones have a moment here or there. But there's redemption after that. If they turn away from it. Not they can continue to do it. Because you have Peter and you have Judas. They both betrayed the Lord that day. Peter denied him 3 times. Judas just did it once. And then Judas was the first one to be like, no, what did I do? We don't get that from Peter. We get him crying and running away. But at least Judas threw the money back at the priest. And he's like, no, I don't. He didn't want it. He didn't take the money after all.
Who's to say he might be there?
No, but the difference is, is Peter repented and he stopped doing it. Judas lived a life, he ended his life to where he didn't think he was forgivable.
Yeah, isn't there two accounts of Judas ending his life? One is he hangs himself, but the other one, his intestines are spilled out.
Yeah. Which, what are you doing?
Both of them are kind of poor.
Guy, is that my door?
A guy is at your door?
Yeah, he's putting something. But see, Viola, this is why you lock your door. That's my door handle. Yeah, that's why you lock your door.
Why don't you tell him, what do you need, boy?
Here, you want me to talk to him?
No, he's just going to door to door, but she doesn't lock her door.
Oh, door to door.
Yeah, but he's on my door. That's why I told her, that's why you lock your door. Because mine isn't a turn, mine is just the... She doesn't lock her door, but that's why you lock your door.
Oh, we had an incident at our place where this guy came into some... This same person came into our neighbors down the road, going through the backyard, going through stuff, looking, and the guy said, hey, what are you doing? And so he walks away, and he goes to our next-door neighbor, walks in, and is standing behind her when she was washing dishes.
Oh, wow.
And he says, what are you doing here? Get out of my house. And then that same kid came and knocked at our door.
I was a kid.
It wasn't a kid. I don't know who he was, but Jeff said...
Well, you said a kid, so at first I'm picturing a man.
Like, you're a kid to her. Younger people, she has kids.
Okay, so then he says, hey, I need a ride to the store. Can you give me a ride? He says, yeah, I'll give you a ride. So Jeff jumps in his truck and gives him a ride. So he says, what, do you want to go to the quick store right here? No, I have to go all the way down here to La Tienda. So, I mean, he had to take them all the way south of town.
Is he like a neighbor?
And so when he got back, everybody's in the yards, and Jeff says, what's going on? He said, hey, this guy came into, was raffling through my backyard, and he says, and he came into my house, the lady said.
Oh, wow.
And was standing there, and he said, oh, I must have given him a ride. The same kid.
What if he would have tried robbing Jeff from his vehicle?
But see, that's the thing. I walk my land, and I pray over it. So we got three options, right? The guy knocked at ours, and he said, hey, can you do this?
So he walks into those people's houses, but knocks on your door, front door.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so the policeman was there as well, and he said, oh, I just gave a bad guy a ride.
Wow.
Holy
Jack.
Yeah.
Right.
He did.
Jeff gave him a ride.
Oh. Yeah, Jeff gave him a ride. And come to find out, this lady from up on the mountain, she said she has a son that's into drugs, but yet she goes and finds him and brings him back. And she's hitting all the garage to get him clothes. And but she brings him back, and Jeff said, he's real polite, Paul. Thank you, God bless you, all of this stuff. And she drags him to church. This lady drags him to church, and he's probably in his 30s, 40s, I'm thinking, already. But mom keeps picking him up. He goes out into the drug area, whatever. Let's go home. Let's go. So I'm thinking it's that same kid.
Anything else in the Torah portion? You good? Yeah? All right. Father, we thank you for our time together. Lord, we just pray that you help us not to be like Pharaoh, not to be hard-hearted, stiff-necked, Lord. Help us to be obedient children who love you, who fear you, who respect you, and who just want to be with you, Father. Help us, Father, to imitate Yeshua, Lord, to only want to be like him. And Father, we just pray that we would be pleasing to you the way he was pleasing to you. Help us, Father, not to fight with brothers and sisters, not to fight for positions and titles. Help us to be content in who you are, and we pray that you would come and have your way with us. Lord, in Yeshua's name we pray.